Before, no tax.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
This is what we got in trouble for at a different radio station. Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
Humpty.
Got a lot to say.
Humpty.
On Memorial Day.
Humpty Dumpty. Humpty. Humpty Dumpty.
I'm from New York. I was born and raised in North Minneapolis. And from some goon out in North Carolina who don't know the difference was saying you and being racist.
Well, folks,
you might want to go to the website and see that our guitar player is black and our singer and one of the preachers in our ministry is Hispanic. I'm trying to figure out where we are a racist foe. So I'll give you a little something anyways. New York, New York, big city of dream. But everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might be fooled if you come from out of town. But I'm down by law and know my way around. Too much. Too many people. Too much.
Too much.
Too many people.
Too much.
A man's on a ledge and says he's just a chump.
I think he's just a punk.
We got in trouble for that.
Humma mama moo. I think that's
for that.
Yeah. It's the humma mama moo.
You know, the other thing we got in trouble for is...
I can't say that anymore.
Disrespecting... We were told to respect Obama... For disrespecting the sacrifice of our brothers and our sisters.
Now that sounds American, doesn't it?
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, let the tyrants keep doing what they're doing.
Hey, you know, I mean, why would...
And don't say anything about it. Holy smokes. Are you kidding me?
Why would the great reformer, Thomas Jefferson, even Ben Franklin, say something very similar?
How dare they?
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. I had some clown just last week try to tell me Romans 13.
Oh, okay.
We're to obey the powers. But wait a second.
I like that.
Who ordained the powers, America?
All power is ordained by God, it says.
Oh, and what were they sent for? The governors were sent to what?
Be a terror
to those that what?
Do evil works.
Evil works.
Mm-hmm.
Not good works.
Including governors.
So they are ministers.
That's right.
As unto God.
That's right.
So we're all to be in agreement. We, the people in the government, we're supposed to be one hand in hand.
You got it.
Together, we look like each other, we mirror each other, so on and so forth. But I was told that, Ravaco, say you're sorry for your prayer, say you're sorry for taking a shot at Obama. Yeah.
Talk about those great men in our past, but don't use their methods.
Exactly.
Talk about Jefferson, glorify Jefferson, and all of our great leaders, and Washington, and Adams, and Franklin. Wonderful, wonderful men, God bless them. But don't use their methods, don't you understand? You're not supposed to use their methods, yeah. Bob!
And don't speak according to the law and to the testimony, because if they don't, there's no light in them. Because the minute you begin to talk about he who came to fulfill the law, Jesus Christ, then it's legalism.
Yeah, because then there's conviction and people might have to act.
Is that what the Holy Spirit meant when he said in John 16 that he came to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment? The Holy Spirit never comforts a man that remains in sin. Never.
Nobody asked him to change things.
You said President Thomas Jefferson. Did you know that Jefferson said the reason that Christianity is the best friend of government is because Christianity is the only rigid religion that changes the heart?
Woo!
Wow!
Glory!
But!
I like that preaching.
What do the revisionists bring forth?
Oh.
I was on WCCO last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thomas Jefferson must be their friend.
Wow. But Bradley, people just don't agree with that anymore. Oh, well, how's that change working out for you anyways,
that's
brother,
right,
from another
Things
mother?
Getting better.
Are we progressing or are we digressing? And then you have the conservatives. Just mellow out, Bradley. Come on, don't stir up the pot.
Don't bring forth change.
We like it the way it is because then we have something to talk about.
Because then when we talk about all those great men, people like us for talking about them.
Yes.
But and again, don't apply their methods. You just can't do that.
And if you do, you expose us for who we really are. And if you do that, then we're going to have to kill your fruit. Just like when Jesus blew Lazarus out of the tomb.
Yep.
And the Bible says that the Pharisees and the Herodians, they didn't want to lose their place or their position. Mm-hmm. So they had to go after Christ and try to cut him off at the knees so far that they even wanted to take out Lazarus.
Yeah. Kill the good fruit.
Wow.
Patrick Henry, who again, his anniversary is tomorrow.
He was a prophet.
And he was a great son of liberty.
We went to his house.
That's right.
We went over to his house and he wasn't there.
Very nice.
He was in the backyard.
Yeah. He was gardening.
No. He was in the back and he was with his family.
Gardening underground, right?
He was, and you know what? He was happy that we were there.
That's right.
And
he's happy for this message that we're speaking right now. He would be amening us, so if you're a friend of Patrick Henry, amen this. He said, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Now, maybe it's just me, but everyone seems to be a pretty absolute statement. It doesn't categorize, well, suspect that young boy who's in eighth grade that's being rebellious in school, or suspect that man who works at the factory. Maybe he's including those that maybe serve in legislature. Maybe he's including those that maybe serve in the three branches of our government. I think that word everyone means just that. It means everyone.
Really?
So if we suspect them, then we need to point out their folly or their errors.
Okay.
But that, when we start to point the finger, then comes what we're talking about now, which is our next topic. What do they say about those that point the finger?
They change the image of the heroes that stand and fight for the faith. And they try to create the image to look just like the times and the changing times.
Like them.
For example, George Washington, the first president of the United States, was called a deist by revisionists. What is a deist? In dictionaries like Webster's, Funk, and Wagnall's, Century, and others, the words agnostic and atheist appear as synonyms. Therefore, the range of a deist spans from those who believe there is no God to those who believe in a distant, impersonal creator of the universe. To those who believe there is no, to know if God exists. So, do the founders fit the definitions? Absolutely not. 25 of the 55 signers had seminary degrees. As a matter of fact, almost half of the signers, let me say that again, of the Declaration, that being 24. See, it's interesting. I'll just go on. The 25 held what today would be considered seminary or Bible school degrees. They were religious individuals. George Washington, the supposed deist, rightly said, morality cannot be maintained without religious Christian principles.
Okay, now does that sound like a deist, America? Because we don't want to make you think a certain way. Does what George Washington just said sound like
a deist? No, but you know what? We just don't want you to force your beliefs on us, man.
Oh, so there's the conviction. We shouldn't have conviction.
No, we just don't want you to force your beliefs down our throat.
Gotcha.
I don't see anybody doing that, but we're all in America ruled by the same law. We can't get away from that.
We're benefiting
that
from
that. That is Christian principles. And isn't it interesting? The laws that protect their lives,
they love those.
But they don't like the laws that God gives that point them out.
So they want laws to protect their immorality. Isn't that what it comes down to?
Pretty much.
But a law can't protect immorality because law can't
That's
do
crime.
That. That's exactly what it's called. It's criminal.
It's 1 John 3:4, transgression of God's law. Morality cannot be maintained without religious Christian principles. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the first Congress under the Constitution assembled in New York City on April 30th, 1789. That was a while back. To hear George Washington's inaugural address, I think you're going to be a little surprised. Talking about George Washington and the image that the revisionists want him to have. We'll be right back after this break.
If you'd like to know who we are, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and find out who we are, what it is we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, letters from famous people who like us, and of course a few who don't. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Also, feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Church Leadership Times, which is every Thursday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. If you'd like to download this radio program's podcast, they're also available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. radio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time who we'll be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Contact us through sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to get a hold of us, call 1-866-233-0747.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Wow, time is flying. Isn't that crazy? Adams said July 4th, 1821, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It is connected in one bond, the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. You can go on and on and on and on and on. Just putting your feet back down on the rock of who we are, America, the two pillars, religion and morality. We're talking about deism with George Washington. The revisionists want to call him a deist. And isn't it interesting that when they're dead, then they praise him, but when they're alive, they persecute him? Washington had his trials and tribulations as well. But listen to this quote about Martin Luther King, and I'm going to get to him in just a second. And I'm speaking about all those that have stood for righteousness. Now that he is safely dead, let us praise him, for dead men make for such convenient heroes. They cannot rise up to challenge the images that we have fashioned for them. Besides, it's easier to build a monument than it is a movement.
Isn't that the truth?
It is the truth.
I love the ones that send emails with Martin Luther King quotes at the bottom. You know, they send you the email, and at the bottom there's always a quote.
Yeah.
Quote of the day.
Yeah, like they hold the same spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the email says, you know, brother, wow, you should really tone down a little bit. And, you know, you shouldn't talk so strongly. And at the bottom it has a quote from Martin Luther King that says, an injustice done anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah. He was the one that was persecuted day and night when he was alive that had 50 death threats on his life on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And now people today like to use his quotes like, yeah. You know, like him.
He's
and
on our side.
Yeah, we'd have been buddies. Yeah. Did you know that about, speaking of Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. I'm going to get right back to Washington. Man, folks, I don't mean to transcend those lines.
Same
back and
spirit,
forth, but you're talking about him right now. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop artist Chuck D said of Martin Luther King, I don't like the fact that when people look at Dr. King and the millennium, there's this year-by-year softening of his image like he wasn't radical. Mm-hmm. You had to have a radical point of view just to be able to stand in the face of the oppression and take it to a physical level if need be.
Yep.
Isn't that exactly right? For the Christians out there, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Wesleyans didn't like the fact that John Wesley was so aggressive. I mean, if you look at original paintings of John Wesley, the man looks like he's went through hell, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wesleyans didn't like his image because it was too rough. Mm-hmm. So what they said is, we need to soften down his image. And it's the same thing what they've done with Christ, the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
They've softened down his image when you see his pictures. It's just almost an offensive, effeminate picture of him. And it's like, folks, read the book of Revelations, because that ain't my Lord at all. He is not effeminate. He is not soft. He was a carpenter in his life. He wasn't some punk. He wasn't walking around smacking little sheep on the bunt with pink booties on. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glories, and he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So let's get back to George Washington. Washington said in New York City on April 30th, 1789, to hear George Washington's inaugural address. This is what he said. No people can be bound to acknowledge and endure, he said, adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. You will join me, I trust, in thinking that there are none under the influence of which the proceedings of a new and free government can more auspiciously commence. A deist? Huh. Wow.
What did you say?
Let's go to Martin Luther King. What about Martin Luther King Jr.? He was called a communist, folks.
Sure.
I'm still trying to find that. We hung out with Andrew Young, Samuel Kyle, Roger Wilkins from the DOJ in Washington, D.C., and whom all knew him. So where's all this communist stuff coming from?
Yeah.
Huh. He wasn't a communist, folks. He was a Baptist preacher. He wasn't
agreement
with the totalitarian system of government at all.
You know any communist Baptist preachers?
And isn't it interesting they would call him a communist while he's reading from the Declaration of Independence? And by the way, folks, the civil rights issue, it wasn't an issue of black and white, it was an issue of law.
That's right.
A preacher's job, of course, as Charles Spurgeon rightly said, is to slay sin, to break the bands of wickedness, not to enslave them, but to set them free. Martin Luther King Jr. was the opposite of a communist. He was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about Eric Little? Remember that guy that ran in the Olympics?
Chariots of Fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Over 75 years ago, a remarkable man did a remarkable thing. Eric Little of Scotland refused to run a heat at the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris because the race was scheduled on a Sunday. He would not violate the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But what did the people of his country label him because he obeyed God? They labeled him as a traitor. And that sounds like scripture to me. As we know from the Academy Award-winning film Chariots of Fire, Little managed to negotiate an unheard-of switch from the 100-meter race he had been scheduled to run to the 400-meter, for which he had not trained. Later in the week, Little won that race and was showered with Olympic glory. Instead of cashing in and selling out, Little turned his back on fame and fortune and followed in his parents' footsteps, becoming a missionary in China, where his most powerful contributions to God and to his fellow humans were made. Now, everybody thought Benedict Arnold was a good guy. Everybody thought that he was a patriot, yet when he was exposed, he was found to be a man that committed high treason against his own country. We're talking about the good, bad, righteous, and the unrighteous. Everybody thought he was a good guy. Hey, Benny. What's going on, Benny?
You're so bright and intelligent and a lover of liberty.
July 1780, Arnold sought and obtained command of a fort at West Point. We all heard of that, right? He already had begun a year-long correspondence with General Sir Henry Clinton in New York City through Major Andre, and was closely involved with Beverly Robinson, a prominent loyalist in command of a loyalist regime. Arnold offered to hand the fort over to the British for $3 million U.S. dollars. That's in 2008 terms. And a brigadier's commission. He chose West Point for its strategic importance. The Americans had been using its position to prevent British ships from moving northward from New York City up the Hudson and connecting with British forces in Canada, a move that would have split the North from the South. His plans were thwarted when Andrea was captured September 23, 1780, with a pass signed by Arnold. Andre was carrying documents that disclosed the plot and which incriminated Benedict Arnold. By the way, Andrea was also later hanged as a spy by George Washington. Interesting. What about Benny Franklin? We all know him. That bad, bad Deus Benny.
Ungodly man.
He's one of the least religious signers of our Constitution, yet he would outshine 99% of Christianity today in this country. As the governor of Pennsylvania, he issued statewide prayer proclamations. He recommended Christianity in public schools. He was a financial supporter of one of the Great Awakening preachers, George Whitefield. Benjamin Franklin boosted church attendance. He also called for chaplains and daily prayer at the constitutional conventions. Oh, and did I forget to tell you that Ben Franklin also said at the foundation of this country, an atheist is unknown in the United States. How contrary to the mind that's at enmity with God. But after all, that's what you're told. Therefore, if the media says it, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true.
It does. Just stick your head up out of the foxhole and see how long it is. One of the presidents said if you want to bring change, you're going to know who your enemies are real quick. He's exactly right. If you want to change the future, you have to trouble the present. In righteousness, lawfully. Not illegally or unlawfully.
Andrew Young told us the more effective you become, the more problems you're going to have. Because you're effective. And so somebody's scared of something when the righteous become effective.
It's called the light exposing the darkness.
That's right. And here comes the firestorm. And that's where we stand. And folks, that's where you win. That's where you get the victory. If you persevere through the fire, you will get your victory. You are promised that. Our founders were promised that, and they persevered through it, and now we have what we have right now.
What did Hudson Taylor rightly said? He said, first it's impossible. He was a great missionary to China. First it's impossible, then it's difficult, and then it's done.
Where's the easy part in there?
Folks, why don't we forsake all the gossip and all the talk and put our feet upon the rocks, which tell us who we are? Because once we do that, we're taking responsibility before God, we're adhering to His commandments, and we're fighting the good fight of faith. I don't know why people want to remain their whole lives as spectators in the game of life. It's no fun to be a spectator. Get out on the field, and then you'll begin to understand what it's like to lead. America is looking for leaders today, not followers. There's too many followers. We got to stand up, be the light of the world, preach from the housetops. Expose darkness with the light, which is the Word of God. And the only way that we can do that is continuously go forward and say, no king but King Jesus. Go back to the forefathers as to who they are, not what they want you to think they are. That's who we are. Like a guy said on WCCO last week, but what if people don't want to adhere to that? I said to him, well, then you got coming what you got coming.
That's right.
So don't complain about it. Mm-hmm. If your ship is sinking, take the bucket and throw the water out of the ship, not into it. You got Bradley and Jake. We'll be right back after this break.
The Sons of Liberty is willing to do what it takes to ensure that you and your posterity remain in this blessed country full of the possibilities of liberty. However, we rely on the generosity of faithful listeners like you. We are asking you to partner with us financially. All donations are tax deductible, and with a gift of $50 or more, we will send you a special Sons of Liberty message, The Two Pillars, on CD. Call 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747, or go online and donate at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
You are speaking all the words out of my heart, and you're really nailing this horrible situation that we find ourselves in. And keep it up. You're really commendable.
Be a part of the team that brings you responses like this. Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. Zeo King Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. Zeo King flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. Zeo King Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your Zeo King Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
He looks 5 years younger.
He doesn't fall asleep at his desk like he used to.
He no longer drinks those energy drinks all day.
He used to be gloomy. Now he's upbeat.
He obviously has lost weight.
He's now drinking Moringa in the Morning from BigJoe.us. Moringa is a delicious, all-organic, 100% bioavailable blend from the miracle Moringa tree, considered by many to be the most nutrient-rich plant ever discovered. Moringa in the Morning will suppress cravings for junk food and energy drinks and make you feel like a kid again. Drink Moringa in the Morning, available from BigJoe.us. That's BigJoe.us. Vibrant health is just a click or call away at BigJoe.us or 800-503-0515. 800-503-0515. That's 800-503-0515. Drink Moringa in the Morning.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'll go one more segment, and then we'll play the Michael Reagan piece for you, talking about the price of liberty that Nicole interviewed just this weekend, Ronald Reagan's son, and that's pretty cool stuff. We're talking about how the revisionists are trying to create the heroes of the faith to look just like what they're becoming today. We just talked about George Washington, Eric Little, Benedict Arnold, Ben Franklin, so on and so forth. Folks, it's a bunch of hooey what you're getting out there. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. The Pharisees said of Jesus, the light of the world, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They were calling him the devil. Jesus answered in John 8:49-50, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. Look how the world labels men of righteousness to be the contrary of who they really are. They call Jesus Christ the devil, Beelzebub. The people around Christ in the day, Scripture tells us in John 7:12, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning Christ. For some said, he's a good man. Those were the common people who heard him gladly. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Remember what Jesus said to his brother in John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates because I testify of it. I call it out for what it really is, that the works thereof are evil. What about in John 15:25, Christians, when he said, they hated me without a cause. They had no reason to hate me. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Wow. Is it because men love darkness rather than the light, lest their deeds should be exposed? Let's go to David. Psalm 109, listen to King David. He said, "Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They spoken out against me with a lying tongue," said King David. "They compassed me also with the words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries." I go on in Psalm 109, verse 5, "And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." What about that bad boy Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, calling down the fire and the light fell right after it? What did Elijah do? I think he got lost in the mix somewhere is what I think of.
Well, I can say it.
I got him. I'm playing, dude. He was labeled the troubler of Israel. Divisive pastor. Huh. "And it came to pass when Ahab, the wicked king, saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not," this is Elijah saying, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and thy father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam," the false gods, the God that says you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do, false grace.
Didn't want to
that covers up their sin rather than empowers them. If you go to Isaiah 59:12, it says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before God, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. They're all around us. Conceiving and uttering from the heart the words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Why? Because the people don't allow it. "Yeah, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey." And again, let's put things into context. It's the evil calling the righteous the wicked, or labeling the righteous as wicked men. I can go on to Jeremiah. I can go on. Listen to what Jeremiah said. "Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." They wouldn't listen to the prophet. "Give heed to me," said Jeremiah to the Lord. "And hearken, listen carefully to the voice of them that contend with me," said Jeremiah. "Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember," Jeremiah said to the Lord, "that I stood before you to speak good for them and turn the wrath of God from them." Paul, the same thing. The disciples, the same thing. Our forefathers, the same thing. And I say, as Thomas Adams rightly said, "That which a man spits against heaven shall fall back on his own face." Folks, we don't look like the revisionists. If things were getting better, I would question history. But we don't need to question history. We need to question the revisionists.
That's right. Question the right people.
That's right. And put it into perspective. You know, I had a guy tell me yesterday, "Bradley, you know, when you hit them like that, you're causing them to be convicted. So they have to examine themselves before God." I said, "I understand that. I totally understand that. And I'm not going to move from that. This is who I am. This is what I'm called to do." But folks, when people say stuff about people, call them up and ask them before you talk about them. Matter of fact, don't even talk about them. I think Scripture says something like that too. That if you got a problem with your brother, you're supposed to go to him, not to your 15 people in your congregation or 15 people at work and smear him before you go ask him. Oh, how foolish do you look when you do that, people? "Truth crushed to the earth will rise again." You can't snuff it out. Because the Bible says the seed of the righteous is forever. So we ain't moving. We got to play this piece by Mr. Michael Reagan. It's an interview by Nicole. And I thought it was actually great. Talking about taking kids overseas to show them the price paid for their liberties. I hope in the near future we're able to do that. I'd like to go to Arlington Cemetery with troubled kids, with kids in prisons. And I shouldn't say just kids, but all the way around the boards. Adults, men, women, whatever the case is.
Lawbreakers, yeah.
Grab a bunch of them that society has given up on, and let's bring them to Arlington Cemetery and preach to them. And let's see what God will do with those that the world doesn't want. This is Michael Reagan and Nicole from the ministry here on an interview about the price of freedom.
Share with us a little bit about what you're doing with the foundation that you started and how you are teaching this next generation the price of freedom.
Well, you know, what I'm doing with the Reagan Legacy Foundation is really teaching young people from here, the United States of America, what can happen when you lose your freedoms. We don't teach it really in school. Kids aren't taught what their freedoms are, so they don't know when they're losing their freedoms. So we put together a program where we will take young high school students overseas to the former Eastern Bloc countries and tour them through the former Eastern Bloc countries, Prague, Ladish, Shnoimo. We take them to Potsdam, we take them to Dresden, we take them to Tyrazin, take them into Berlin, and what have you, so they can actually walk through that history and begin to really understand what it was like to live under communism and Nazism. They can talk to the people. We have a series of 55 questions we give to these kids before they leave, when they return, and it's just been, you know, absolutely life-changing for these kids because they're seeing the truth and what it was really like to live under communism and Nazism.
Now, can you share with us what sparked you to start this?
Well, what sparked me to really start it was the fact that, and I've known it for a long time, America doesn't really sell very well. We sit there and end the Cold War, then we walk away and think that goodness is going to break out. And, you know, when there's a void, most times evil sets in, not goodness, if you're not there to really help it along. And when I was traveling in Europe a few years ago, I was in Berlin, and I just happened to ask a young person on the street. They said, what do you know about the Berlin Wall? And they said, well, the Americans put it up to keep the communists out of their sector. I said, well, where'd you learn that? Well, that's what we're taught here. And I said, wow, you know, this is amazing. The kids over there aren't being taught why they're free, and this is the first generation to be free in years. And so I thought, my goodness gracious, we need to do something truly, truly about it. Or you ask kids here in school, what do you know about the Berlin Wall? What do you know about the Iron Curtain? What do you know about Lech Walesa? What do you know about any of that? And they don't know any of it. So that's when I decided to interchange high school students from here to there and there to here. And it's really worked out quite well. And these kids are tweeting each other and Facebooking each other, and they're all learning something. The group from there is learning about America and how they became free. The group from here is learning what it was like to live under oppression. I'll give you an idea. Not many people know that when you go to bed August 12th of this year, when you wake up the morning of August 13th, had it been 1961, you would have been wherever you are until November of 1989. That's how quick the Berlin Wall went up. That's how quick those people lost their freedoms. And it took from 1961 to 1989 to gain their freedoms back. But for all those years, they were stuck behind a Berlin Wall in grayness and just a world that was completely different than the free world.
Now, I can only imagine the shock that I'm sure some of the students have that go on this tour with you. Just from our experience, we've been in over 330 public schools here throughout the country, and we found the same thing that you have. Our young people are not being taught this.
They're not being taught this at all, or if they're being taught, they're being taught by people who've never been in that area.
Yep.
And have learned it from somebody else, and they think they know all the answers. I mean, there's nothing like being at the Iron Curtain in Shnoimo on the border of Austria and Czech and having these kids actually see the Iron Curtain and actually see the 200 meters of kill zone on either side of the Iron Curtain, or to visit one of the 9,000 bunkers that were put up in Czechoslovakia. And it's interesting, one of the questions that we ask is, well, which way were the bunkers aimed? And in the test that they took before they left, every one of them said was aimed outward. And when they got there, they found out all the bunkers were aimed inward to keep people in, not to keep people from coming in, but to keep people that were in from leaving. And they find these things out, and it just absolutely amazes them. And what's amazing is that our teachers, our professors, don't tell the kids this. They blame America for all the things going on in the world instead of uplifting America for setting the world free.
And thus far, I think that's pretty awesome. We're going to come back in about 3 minutes here, folks, and we're going to finish off that interview. I also want to thank the people that are coming down to the office. We're on live radio right now out of Minnesota. We got some people coming through thanking us for what we did at the state capitol last week. So praise God for you. We appreciate it. Our doors are wide open. If you want to be a part of the show, please do.
I'll pay you to read this book. The truth is, this book is so essential to surviving in this insane economy, I'll give you an early $1,900 silver dollar free just for ordering this book. Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metals investing firms. So why would Midas give you a free collectible silver dollar for ordering this book? Because you need to know the truth about surviving in this economy. With trillions of your tax dollars being handed out like bailout candy, you know this will impact your wallet today, tomorrow, and at retirement. This book explains it all. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul said this book is what every American needs to know. So while others are trying to survive this economic meltdown, learn how to flourish. Order your book right now, and Midas Resources will send you an early 1900s collectible silver dollar free. Call 877-877-4201. 877-877-4201. That's 877-877-4201.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning. Eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion. Fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty, our final segment, folks. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Memorial Weekend. And I want to give a big shout-out to the veterans for what you have done and what you have bestowed upon us through your sacrifice. We just want to say God bless you and thank you for what you have bestowed upon us, because if it wasn't for guys like you and women like you, we wouldn't be here right now doing what we're doing in honoring of what you have done. So we just wanted to say God bless you. We thank you for your sacrifice. And to end this week's show, we're going to continuously play Michael Reagan, son of Ronald Reagan, with Nicole from the Ministry Center here. And we're going to let him finish off with the price of liberty and who he's going to do that. That's really important. So go ahead, Gary.
Could you share with us a personal story that you know of a young person that's been on this tour and maybe some comments they've made or the impact that it's made in their life?
Well, there was one. There was a young girl from Alaska. Her mother escaped from Hungary and the father escaped from Germany. She's 16 now or 17 now. But they had been telling her all of her life about freedoms and what can happen and what it was like for them to live behind the Iron Curtain, behind the Berlin Wall. And the girl didn't get it, so they put her on our program last summer. And when she got back to the United States of America, she just wrapped her arms around her parents. She said, I get it. I now finally get it. Because we took her into Tirzin or into Ladish, where Hitler went in and murdered everybody 16 years of age and older. And the town now in Ladish is a monument to all those who died at the hands of Hitler. And there's stone statues of the people who were killed and murdered by Hitler and his goons. And so here you have this girl getting off the plane and hugging her parents. And when we had our graduation, you know, she said, when I left, I was a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. Today I want to tell you I am an independent. That was a big move, because what she had been taught and what she had learned from her friends was completely different than what reality was when she actually saw reality.
Could you also share with us what you see happens in a young person's life when they realize the price that's actually been paid by men and women for the freedom that we have in America today?
Well, it's changed. I mean, you take Odell from South Central Los Angeles. What do you think of the life he grew up? And his mother calls about every week saying, "You changed my child's life," because everything he has learned was completely set on its head from what he saw. And what was really also great about our program was mixing the after-school all-stars, inner-city kids and achievers with, you know, dyed-in-the-wool conservative kids. The dyed-in-the-wool conservative kids aren't going to go to South Central Los Angeles and visit. Likewise, South Central Los Angeles kids aren't going to go to Beverly Hills and visit. And so to see them rooming together and learning that, you know, neither one of them are crazy. In fact, they're kids. They're wanting to learn the same thing. And seeing them befriend each other and befriend them, see each other over both of them learning something that neither one of them knew.
Could you explain to us how this message was instilled into your own life, the message of freedom and just the passion that you have to pass it on?
You know, I sit there and I listen. And my mother once told me, you don't learn anything with your mouth open. And that's absolutely true. So, you know, I sat there and listened. I would listen to my father and just read and just see the things my father was accomplishing. But, you know, during that period of time when he was president of the United States and then being able to travel and go to other areas of the world and see people in turmoil and see what was going on, I just learned a lot from it. And you think you know everything, and then you walk into a room and you find out maybe you don't know that much at all. I mean, when you're standing in Schneumo at the Iron Curtain, you know, you think you know a lot, but until you touch it, feel it. I remember the day that we were all in Berlin. We had a group about 30 with us, and the Berlin Wall, you know, was there and still there, and we signed the Berlin Wall. And you saw that, wow, there was more than one wall. There's actually two walls because there was a kill zone in between. And you see those things. So even reading about those things and having knowledge of it is one thing, but actually standing before the Berlin Wall or standing in the streets of Berlin and seeing where the wall's etched out in the streets and every 20 yards or so there's a plaque saying what, in fact, you're standing on and what was there for all those many years does make a difference in your life, and being able to share and talk to the people and understand that many of those people today, they haven't changed that much because they lived in turmoil and in bondage for so long. It's hard to come out of mental bondage. And for America not to be selling itself and uplifting itself and uplifting itself to those people, I think does a disservice because you can repeat history.
Just as you're talking here, if you maybe would have some insight on this, but why in the world are we not teaching our young people in schools today about the price of freedom?
Because I think what's happening is the agenda, the liberal agenda, has really taken over, and it's blame America first. It's not anything else. It's just blame America. We're the problem, you know, in the world, and we're certainly not the problem with the world. We're the savior of the world, truly, out there. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. But without us, where would the world be? I mean, you look at the world today. Everybody talks about the lack of leadership in Washington. But the fact is, there's a lack of leadership in the world. Where's the Lech Walesas? Where's the Vaclav Havels? Where's the Margaret Thatchers? Where's the Pope John Pauls? Where's the Ronald Reagans? Where's the Helmut Kohls? And where's the Mikhail Gorbachevs? Where's the leaders of the world? There's no leaders today in the world. And so the world's in absolute turmoil. And nobody's really talking about that side of it, that when you have no leadership, you have turmoil. And there is turmoil. And that's when America needs to stand up and take charge. And we're not standing up and taking charge.
Who do you see right now as the leaders that are being raised up in our country?
I think the leadership is probably, it's going to come from young people. That's where the leadership's going to come from. I think the future right now is got to be looking at our governors. We have some great governors in this country that I think are going to be great leaders in the future. Is 2012 going to be it? I don't know. But I think young people, and as everybody is looking for leaders, and right now we lack leaders. We have too many people trying to be Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan wasn't trying to be Abraham Lincoln. And I think we do a disservice trying to match everybody up against my father, be happy and glad that we had him in our lifetimes. I think what we're lacking is leadership. We're looking for leaders. The last one we remember was a Ronald Reagan or a Margaret Thatcher. And I think all of us are looking for that triumphant, if you will, to be back again. And where are they? We can't see them, so we have to raise them up. And we do it through organizations like yours and mine.
That sounds wonderful. Well, I definitely appreciate your time today, Michael.
Yeah, people want more information. Just go to Reagan.com. Not only can you get your own email address at Reagan.com, but you can click on one of the buttons and go right to our foundation page and read all about the things that we're doing.
Mr. President, Herbert Hoover said the whole inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life.
There's another president.
I exemplify him. I rest my case.
We're not saying anything bad about other presidents. We're talking about him and how good what he said, how lasting. And liberty will only last so long as we can upkeep it and uphold it.
Now, folks, this week, obviously, we know that this is Memorial Weekend. A whole lot of folks have given up their kids for the ratification of the Constitution that we are magnifying every time we're on this radio show. And when you go back to World War I, there was 116,000 men that bled the battlefield red with their blood to ratify the Constitution of the United States. Don't you think that it would be your duty, America, to pick up a Constitution and take an hour or two and read what they died for and then live for what they died for? It sounds like the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 to me. World War II, 405,399 bled the battlefield red with their blood to bestow upon us the freedom to magnify the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, our founding documents. Don't you think it would be the only responsible thing as citizens is to get a Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and read it and see what those men bled, fought, and died to do and uphold? And I think that's a pretty good idea. And then if you go back to Korea and then Vietnam and then Afghanistan, Iraq, Desert Storm, so on and so forth, you look at all the boys and the women that have bestowed upon us their all for our all. It reminds me of John 15 when Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his brothers. I think every citizen in this country, if you call yourself an American, there's no way, first of all, you can be at war with God because he's the empowerer of you as a patriot in Jesus' name. And in saying all that, I think it's very important that America gets their fight on and stand up. But put the knowledge with the fight.
That's right.
So you know what you're talking about, because if you don't know what you're talking about, people aren't going to respect you.
And I think it motivates me when I hear about the sacrifice again, even Mr. Reagan talking about it, leadership, it motivates me to go out and act and to exalt their message. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, their message, folks, our message is their message.
Exalting them.
It's not our message. We're not giving our opinion. We're giving you the facts. We're giving you the foundations.
We're standing for their example that they laid before us. Instead of using what they've done to create our own example, the example's been set, folks. It's redemption and it's liberty. And that source is God and Christ, our Creator. We just merely exalt it as his servants, as Americans, as Christians.
We should talk about the constitutional signers, the stuff that they had to go through during the Revolutionary War sometime. But, folks, you got Bradley and Jake. You have a beautiful Memorial Weekend. And in process, please do not forget to pray for this ministry. Please do not forget to support this ministry, if you'd be so kind as to do that. We need the help. The number here at the office is 1-866-233-0747. If you'd like more information or you'd like to be a part of the ministry, 1-866-233-0747.